Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. This is Julia Cannon, and today is, why do I always have to think about this? March 24th, 2017. I think we're just in time warps or something, and they're telling me it's because we're in the now, and so time isn't anything, and that's why it's hard to know where we are. Okay, that means something. So and it means something to our subject tonight. Okay, apparently it does. I guess Michael know about that. Okay, I want to first of all give the call-in number if anyone has questions for our guest tonight, and that is 1-888-627-6008. And as everyone, if you don't know, we have our UFO conference coming up, and it's our 30th UFO conference. This is a really big deal. This is like the longest continuously running conference, I think, in the world, UFO conference. And we're one of the largest. And here we are right in little old Eureka Springs, Arkansas. This beautiful part of the country. And this has been going on. We picked it up from, it was started by Lou Farish 30 years ago. And then we inherited it in 2013. And because we couldn't, just could not see, let it go. And this is just so wonderful that this is, continuing, and we're being able to continue the process of allowing, let this information just keep getting it out there and going and bringing people like our guest tonight, out and let them share their knowledge. And that's what I want to bring you now is our guest tonight is one of our great speakers for the conference. And he is going to, it's really interesting information that he's going to be sharing. And it's something that you might not attribute to the UFO phenomenon. And that's why this is so interesting. And this is Mike Cleland. And he's talking about the owls and their link to the alien phenomenon. So, first of all, welcome, Mike. I want to bring you aboard. Then we're going to talk about this a little bit.
Great, great. I'm here. Thank you.
So, thank you so much for being with us.
You're very welcome.
First, what I like to do before we get into kind of your subject matter and everything, because it really is interesting for many reasons, is I like to go back before all of this and find out how you got into all of this, how all this started for you, you didn't wake up one day and say, hey, I think I'll do this. Something happened, what did you used to do? What did you used to be? And then, what was your journey to this?
Well, that's a long story. I just finished a big book, and within that book is my journey basically for about this. So, I'm 54 now, and 11 years ago now, because it would have been 2006, which was 11 years ago. I had a handful of experiences that were really powerful with owls. Now, this was at the same point in my life, right? So there's so I'm kind of living my life, and I had been teaching for an outdoor school, and I had also been doing illustration work. I'd been living out west doing outdoor work in the Rocky Mountains. So I was living in Idaho, right near Grand Teton National Park. And so two things were happening. One, I was sort of just chugging along with my life. And then two, there was like a nagging kind of realization and knowing that I was going to have to look into. Someday I was going to have to confront these strange things that had been going on in my life. And these strange things were seeing UFOs and missing time. And there, I even have one story of like waking up in the middle of the night and looking out my window, a big bright light shining in the bedroom window, and seeing five gray aliens out in the yard walking towards the house. Well, and, okay. And I managed to dismiss all of it, just denied it, pushed it down, dismissed it. At the same time, I had been reading UFO books like compulsively. So I had kind of an obsession. At the same time, I had these experiences that I would not recognize. That's changed. I certainly recognize them now. But what happened was in 2006, I went camping two different nights in the same week. I lived in a place where I could just walk out the door and go camping in beautiful weather. And if I could just sleep out under the stars, it was lovely. And I did it a lot. So I had two different times with the same friend, and she and I both. So the first time we're sitting out. And this, I just met her. This was in a weird way. It was like a first date or something like that. So it's a complete stranger. Mm-hmm. And I just said, hey, I go camping all the time. She's like, you do? Really? And I'm, yeah, I go out for one night, just go into the mountains and sleep out under the stars, get up the next morning and turn around and walk back home and to the car and then come back home. And she was like, well, let's stick it. And I was like, I'll take you along anytime you want. So we went, hiked in and light packs with this beautiful weather. So there's no need to take a shelter. So we're just going to plan on sleeping out under the stars and up high in the mountains. So northern latitude and high elevation. So the stars were just spectacular. And the sun was setting and the moon was rising. And I was cooking on a big flat rock and a little camp stove. And she was talking about something. And I recognized in that moment, like, oh my word, I did not expect this from this person. I'm impressed. This person has a depth that I did not expect. And in that moment, an owl flew over. Oh. And then a second owl. And then a third owl. And for the next few hours, these owls hung out with us. They sat on branches near us. They flew right over us. The sun went all the way down, and we went to go to sleep, and we just laid our sleeping bags down and looking up at the stars, the clear sky, and the owls would just whoosh, right across our face. And mm-hmm. And blot out the stars for just 1 second. It was really magical. It happened. We went out camping a few days later. The same exact thing happened. I'm convinced we were in a totally different spot. I'm convinced it was the same owls, the same three owls. To have it happen once was kind of cool. To have it happen twice, it kind of freaked me out, and it set me on this journey where I was like, everything was like, what do the owls mean? What do the owls mean? What do the owls mean? And what it did is it sort of pushed me off the cliff, and that was the impetus I had to start looking to my own stuff. When I was looking at those owls, I did not say this at the time when I told the story, and I told this story to everyone, but I didn't say this part. When I was looking at those owls, there was a voice in my head that very clearly said, this has something to do with the UFOs. These were real owls. There's a screen memory aspect to the owl thing, and where people might report an oversized owl, like a 4 foot tall owl that doesn't turn out to be an owl at all. These were, 12 inch, 14 inch tall owls. They were very owl sized. They were doing owl things. These were real owls. I'm convinced of that. So, later, I 3 years later, I got a hold of her name is Kristen, my friend. And I got a hold of her and I said, she'd moved out of the town where I was living in. And I said, I have to ask, I had written it up as a diary entry kind of thing. And I had to ask, like, what were you talking about? I remember you were talking about something at the moment the first owls showed up. And she said, oh, I remember exactly what I was talking about. I was giving my most heartfelt definition of what God meant to me.
Oh, wow.
And that really shook me up. So when I started looking into my own experiences, right? So I'm early on, I was desperate. Oh my God, I was a jumble of nerves. And I was very anxious, and it was not a peaceful chapter of my life when I first started looking into these experiences in me that I had. So I would talk to researchers and I would talk to other people who've had these experiences, and I would ask everyone the same questions. Have you ever had any odd experiences with owls? Now, it wasn't 100%, but but it was enough that there was a really clear pattern. People would say, yes, I have had these strange experiences, a really weird experience with owls, or a bunch of them. And what I ended up doing is kind of collecting these stories and cataloging them and writing them down. And that became a, and that eventually came a great big, became a great big fat book. And that's been the focus of my research, this owl thing. So at this point, because of my own direct experience, I am absolutely convinced that there is some powerful connection. I don't know why it's happening. I don't know. You know, I don't have a reason. I can guess a little bit about what it might be. But yes, my sense is that owls are connected. Now, that was a very long answer. And if you want to just butt in anytime, you feel free, because I can, you know, I can talk. So,
mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about your journey. So let's just, you know, and then as far as we'll get to the whys and the wherefores here as we go. But yeah, your journey. Okay, so you're okay, so that was how you started, and then you've been researching the owls.
From this is over 10 years now, yep. Aggressively, okay. Researching, talking to a lot of folks and collecting a lot of stories. So what's happened is I have a website, and if you Google UFO owls side by side, my name is the first thing that comes up. It's like 7-8 times on the list. It's just me. It's just like, if anyone, like someone has an experience with a UFO and an owl in, you know, New Zealand or Finland or something like that, they're going to, you know, it's the modern age. They're going to go on Google, and if I'm just a few clicks away, so they're going to find me. And so I have been getting so many powerful stories that have to do with UFO contact and owls. It's been remarkable.
So what are some of the stories that you're getting?
Well, on the simplest level, you know, very common for people to be out in the woods and look up in a tree and then see an owl. And then moments later, a craft flies over, most often a triangle craft. And so that is surprisingly consistent and surprisingly common. Or people will drive down the road and an owl will fly past their windshield, and moments later they'll see a UFO, a flying saucer of some sort. And there's all kinds of variations of this. There's one account where people are driving down the road and plop, this owl drops out of the sky and it's kind of flopping around all disoriented on the road. Mm-hmm. And so these people are parked, stopped in front of this owl that's disoriented, and they look up and there's a flying saucer. People having UFO contact, this is like the top, this is the very normal stuff, that people will be having, going through a chapter of their life with a lot of contact, a lot of contact experiences. This was oftentimes in the 90s and 80s, late 80s, early 90s, seemed to be kind of a high watermark for that kind of what people have been reporting. So, you know, they would come home from work and there'd be an owl like on the branch right next to the front door, and it would watch them walk into the house. And they would be inside and the owl would be standing outside, you know, on a branch staring in the window. And they would get up the next morning and go to work and the owl would still be there on the branch. And so this sounds... I mean, obviously owls are around, but these are stories told to me by people who've had UFO contact. So I'm trying to put these puzzle pieces together.
Okay. So like the one there where the owl was just on the branch and just stayed there, was there a UFO seen in that situation?
No, but that was at a time of heavy contact. So that owl would have hung out for months. Okay. And that was at a time when they felt they were, you know, in the midst of oftentimes what's felt like nightly contact.
Okay. Got it. I wonder if, I was thinking like when you said when they were like, okay, they would fly by or they were seen and then the craft would be there. It sounds like it's almost like the owl gets the attention. It's like it's getting their attention to pay attention.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I recognize that. Like there's a moment of, and oftentimes it's like, you know, there are people who will go out and, I mean, I've had people go out and say, I want to see an owl. Someone with, you know, like who's been having, this is, you know, because of me. You know, these are friends of mm-hmm. mine that I've befriended. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one fellow wanted to see an owl, you know, and he just finished my book, actually. So he's reading the book. He's at work. He's got it on his little e-reader, and he just gets the final page. And then he closes the book up, and he works, and there's a big parking lot there where he works, and he's driving his car through the parking lot. And he's moments earlier, he had just finished the book, and it's nighttime, and he says, you know, I'd really like to see an owl. And then boom, at that moment, he sees a flying saucer, a flying craft. And he describes this craft as not so much it's sort of disc shape in the way its outline is, but he said it was like a tear in the sky, and like the light from behind the sky was poking through the tear. So here's, and then I, you know, there's a bunch of stories where people will be out, and one woman's on a beach, and she's with her husband, and she hears an owl hooting. She's like, what is this owl hooting on the beach here? And she's looking around, she looks at the trees, there's nothing to see. And then she looks straight up above her, and there's a silvery disc right above her. So there's an example of someone, you know, hearing an owl and then seeing a craft. And I have that a handful of times. People will be out and they'll actually be at night, and they'll hear an owl, and they'll turn around and look in the direction of the owl. And in that moment, they'll see a silvery craft kind of zip through the, you know, above them through the trees. So their attention, there's an exact, you know, their attention was brought to the point in the sky where they would have seen that silvery craft.
Yeah. Very interesting. Okay. Well, because I've heard of the, you know, like the owls being used as the screened memory thing. And so have you gotten reports of those as well?
Yes. When I talk about this stuff, and when I do in the book and then in lectures and such, I will talk about the screen memory aspect and then just move on. Mm-hmm. Because to me, that's, you know, that's fascinating. But the weirder thing to me is the owls. Now, your mother had an experience mm-hmm. that she wrote about in The Custodians.
Right.
And if she had been at a meeting with people, like a group therapy type meeting, and she was at the point when she realized she needed to look into the UFO contact experience. Like, she felt like she was doing some paranormal research and some psychic research type stuff. And this was at the point when she realized, like, oh my gosh, I have to make the decision. Am I going to go and follow this path that seems to be laid out in front of me of having to do with UFOs? And she was hesitant to go down that road. She was very clear about that in the book. She's driving home, and this owl standing in the road as she approaches her home. Mm-hmm. And this is in Arkansas, there in the Ozark Mountains. And so she pulls up to the. And this is, I'm retelling this story. You may be able to know it better than I do. If she.
No, you're saying it perfectly. Actually, you're saying more details than I remember. So,
okay, good. And well, I had researched it, and I remember I was very careful to glean what I could out of the book. So, there's an owl. She pulls right up to the owl standing in this lonely country road. Right, she pulls right up to it, and it looks over the hood of her car, It's looking at her, and then it flies off and flies up the road a little ways and lands again. And she drives up to it and parks the car and has to stop. And she didn't want to hit it, and she didn't want to bump it, and she didn't want to hurt it. And so she pulls right up to it, and it's looking at her over the hood, and it flies off and it flies off. And this takes her all the way to her driveway. And then it stops at the edge of the driveway, and she turns in her driveway. And I think it was I think it must have been your brother. She said she told her son that night. Do you have a brother?
I have a brother. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So she told him that night that, you know, she saw an owl and was staring over the hood of her car. And he was like, Mom, the owls don't get that big. There's no such thing. They can't be that big. They're just like, you know, and she was, you know, she just kind of dismissed it. And later, I think it was actually years later, she was in London and went to, I guess, the London Natural History Museum, or the British mm-hmm. Natural History Museum. And they had a big, giant room. And there was all these, there's a big, giant, long glass case that had all these stuffed owls, and had all the owls from all over the world, and they were all stuffed. And she walked along this case, and she realized there's no way that what she saw that night was a real owl, because the owls that she was seeing were simply too small. Even the largest owl, you know, doesn't get much more than a foot and a half so tall standing up. So she was like, what was I seeing?
Mm-hmm.
And now, to me, the most important detail of this story is that this was the night she was contemplating and had to make the decision on following the UFO path, which she did, obviously. Right. And so that to me, now here's the question: what did she see? I mean, I don't know if she ever went through hypnotic regression to figure it out.
No.
And then the implication is, so there's many, many stories like this, you know, people driving down a lonely country road and they pull up to this big tall owl and the owl looks off. This is very common to be, say they looks right over the hood of the car, or they pull up next to it and it looks in the windshield or the driver's side window. Yeah. So she drives along and, so like these witnesses would then go home and they would have a few hours of missing time. I don't remember her mentioning anything about missing time in the account.
I don't remember her saying anything about missing time either.
Yeah. I don't think it was in there. She may have even mentioned that she did not have any missing time. Mm-hmm. It's early on in the book, The Custodians.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so under hypnosis, these witnesses may tell, you know, like the hypnotherapist would say, okay, now what's happening now? It's like, well, I'm approaching this owl. And the hypnotherapist will say, describe the owl. And they might say, well, it's skinny and it's got a little uniform on and it's got a great big bald head and big black eyes. And so they're not describing an owl at all. So there's some form of powerful mind control that takes place that camouflages or that alters the perception of the observer. Mm-hmm. Gray aliens are, to see a gray alien on a lonely road at night would be very scary.
Right.
To see an owl on a lonely road at night would be something you would very much take note of. But I don't think it would instill the same fear that a gray alien. So one theory is the aliens are doing it as a service to us, not to freak us out.
Right. I know Mom also, I remember her saying one night, I mean, so she's had things happen. I was thinking something else that you said there about, like she was trying to decide, do I go down this path? And seeing it was on, she was on the road. And it was like directing her. It was like kept being in front of her. It was almost like it was directing her down the road.
Yes. And this is actually something I've come to in my research where I'm no longer, you know, like, so if you go to the gypsy fortune teller, right? You know, and you want a dream analysis, you tell your dream, right? And then you have like, there's these iconic things that show up in dreams, you know, like a bridge, you know, like I crossed the bridge and saw an owl. So that's in your dream. And the fortune teller would then say, oh, the bridge is symbolic and the owl is symbolic.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what I'm doing in my research, and it drives some people crazy, the more nuts and bolts researchers just roll their eyes when I do this kind of thing. But I feel like I'm at the point now where I see this so often that I'm treating reality as if it's a dream and analyzing it for dream logic and for dream symbolism.
Yeah. Well, we actually have an author that actually does that. He says that our reality is a dream and you to actually do that. So,
Who's the author?
David Rivenis.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that to actually do that. So you are not far off at all. You're exactly right. And according, you know, so that makes total sense. You know, that they would use things like that, you know, there's symbols everywhere. So
I agree. And that's the, and so what, so what's the, and I, this is a, I just refer back to this. What is the symbol of the owl? You know, the owl all throughout history has been, you know, there's a beautiful ancient cave carving of an owl. You know, it's like one of the, it's a very lovely piece of artwork.
Well, it symbolizes wisdom, doesn't it? Hasn't it been the,
well, that symbolizes wisdom that comes from Greece, that comes from, that comes from ancient Greek and Athena. But before then, and even within Athena's other, you know, she's the goddess of many things. She's the goddess of mathematics and the goddess of war and the goddess of arts and crafts, which is interesting art. So, she had a companion owl, and that's why even today. So that's, you know, whatever ancient Greece is, you know, 4,000 years ago, these things were set in place, and present day little kids still have, you know, owl pictures thumbtacked to their bulletin board when it comes time to graduate from kindergarten, because that's the symbol we have, and it's still with us all these millennia later. Yeah, so the owl would be the symbol. They can see in the dark. Everyone recognizes that they fly around in the dark. They can land in trees in the dark. They can hunt in the dark. So that very quickly becomes a metaphor for traveling into another realm. Like we live in a land of light bulbs, right? Well, but what's going, you know, what were our ancestors? What did they think of the night? I mean, it just doesn't even cross my mind that the night would be anything unsettling or frightening. But for our ancestors, it certainly must have been. So the land of the nighttime was foreboding, and that's the realm the owl traveled in. So if the owl is visiting these other lands, it would then have to come back. And that to me is the metaphor is the power. So if they go to some other realm and then come back, they're coming back with a message. And I have so many accounts where people would say straight up, this is before the book, this is before the title of the book. They would say, they would stop referring to it as an owl. And they say, well, the messenger arrived on a branch outside my window and gave me this important life lesson.
Oh, okay.
And I'm convinced that's must have been, it's happening now, modern day, right? So we got computers and, you know, electric lights and, you know, automobiles and cell phones and stuff like that. And these owls are showing up now with these powerful experiences. My sense is that the same thing was happening outside our teepees, you know, or outside the cave. These owls were showing up at the same prescient moments in people's lives.
Cool. Okay. Okay. So what are some other, stories you've been hearing?
Well, the book is full of them. And I mean, I could go on and on and on. So
this is fascinating.
Yeah. And yeah, believe me, I'm like, my girlfriend is also, she's my partner, Andrea. She's had owl experiences. And when we met, early on, she said, oh, here's my dream diary. And it was just one owl dream after another owl dream after another owl dream. I mean, here's a very simple one, right? I have this in a few different versions. And basically people having essentially the same thing. The people have had like contact experience. They recognize they've had this contact experience. It's very mystifying to them. They're going hiking. They plan to go hike. I'm going alone. I'm going to go in the woods alone. And today is the day I'm going to meet an alien. I know it. I know today is the day I'm going to meet an alien. And they're driving to the little trailhead, and they follow a car. This is one fellow has this story, and he's following a car, and it says, maybe today. That's the bumper sticker, you know, he's following. Mm-hmm. And so he goes on a hike, and he's on the trail all alone. There's an owl staring at him. So he says, I'm going to have a stare down contest with this owl. And they stare at each other. And he basically realizes like, oh, I'm never going to win this. And he walks off. And as he walks off, the owl follows him and follows him and follows him. He gets to the top of the mountain, and there's a bright light that other people are, you know, other hikers, and this is in New England, that other hikers are seeing, you know, like, what is that light over there? And so he went fully knowing he was going to see an alien, but he saw an owl, and then later saw a UFO. And the next morning he'd meditated and an owl started hooting. And for the next month, every time he meditated, an owl would hoot out his window. So, you know, to me, meditation and this kind of, this is all stuff of the deeper mind and of consciousness. So this is the stuff that I'm finding, is that it's a powerful, to announce their arrival. You said something to that effect earlier. This is a powerful symbol of the transformative process, right? So that's where I'm at right now with this. I think the owl is symbolic of the transformational process of the human psyche. That's very lofty to say. I have nothing to back it up but a bunch of anecdotal stories. But when you kind of read all these stories and whatever's in the book, there's multiply that by 20 or 50. And that's how many I'm getting, you know, like, and so I'm at a point now where I feel like I can just kind of step back and just kind of look at the big mosaic and the tapestry. And that's what I'm coming away with.
Okay. This is really cool. This is really mind expanding here. Okay. So what you just said, like what you were talking about, like the first time when that on that first, was it Crystal?
Kristen.
Okay. And you said she was talking about her most heartfelt, definition or feeling of God. And then that's when all of that happened.
Yes. Yes. That to me, I mean, all these other details.
Yeah.
They just fell away when I realized that that coincided with that moment.
Right. And then you say, okay. And then a lot of people say, okay, when they meditate, then these things happen. It's reminding me of something that I'd heard. I never heard him say it, but I heard other people say that this was said. And Mom used to say that, you know, it was a saying that John Mack used to say. And that was that you will never understand the extraterrestrials until you understand metaphysics and you understand the spiritual side. And so that's where it's kind of sounds like this is maybe part of this. It's like you've got to get, it's all intertwined. It's not. It's,
yes, yes, I agree. Now, this is this book was a many year long project. I mean, this is mm-hmm. 3 or 4 years of, you know, from 4 years really from beginning to end, as far as actually sitting down to try to write it. And it was, I'm not a writer per se, so I had to grit my teeth and took a long time. But I did not set out to write a book that mm-hmm. dealt with consciousness and sort of the metaphysical aspects and the spiritual aspects, but that's what arose out of it. I just couldn't deny what I was receiving. And mm-hmm. I will also say that the book itself, like it arrived in what I refer to as like a synchronistic fog. And I make the joke, you know, like I really didn't do any research for the book. I just got up in the morning and opened my email and just checked my email inbox. That was mm-hmm. my research, because this stuff would just arrive. I'd like, oh, mm-hmm. I need the perfect story here. I got this chapter and it's kind of coming along and I got, it's kind of set up, but it's just kind of got this hollow spot here. And I just needs something. And I would get up the next morning and ping, there would be this amazing story. And I would interact with these folks. And I made a real effort to get back to everyone I wrote about and talk with them and make sure that I was and they would then read the text that I had written about them. I would mm-hmm. email's been amazing for that. And then you know, so clean up the text. So these folks were most of the people involved in the story, in the book approved, helped edit and, you know, really fine tuned every account. So here, this is a very simple one. Guy, his name is Ben, right? So he's a father and he's got kids and he's driving the kids in the minivan and they're coming back from birthday party. So his kids are in the car and there's other kids in the car and it's nighttime and they're roller skating birthday party. So the kids are all like, you know, like, tell a story. And he just is like, well I'm going to tell some UFO stories. So he tells these weird stories, you know, kind of campfire. He plays it up a little bit like a campfire story, but there's real stories that happened to him. And he had never told this to his kids before. Mm-hmm. So, and their friends and stuff, and they're like, cool. And he tells a handful of stories. Then he tells the big one, which is his missing time event. So he had missing time. And when he gets to the end of the missing time story, an owl flies right across his windshield. Now people who have UFO contact, I feel, have a lot of synchronicities. So he basically said, listen, I was no stranger to synchronicity. Mm-hmm. And the first thought in his mind was, that was so corny. Like, that is so corny. An owl? Couldn't it have been something else, like a bear? Right at that moment, he has the thought. And this black dog runs across the road and the kid in the front seat says, look, a bear. Now, so when he explains it, he said it all happened almost simultaneously. He finished the story, the owl, the dog, the thought, the bear.
Oh,
and so later on, he's with his kids and they go hiking for the day and they're hiking along this trail in the forest and this owl lands in a branch and watches them go by and they hike down the trail and the owl then flies, gets in front of him, lands in a branch and watches them go by. Then the owl flies on, lands in a branch and watches them go by. And it just happens over and over again. The kids thought it was the coolest thing ever. And this guy, Ben, was kind of freaked out. So that later that night, the kids are little and they got this book and it's called Say Boo. And they're like, Dad's going to read a bedtime story. So Dad's up there in the room. The kids are there. He's reading the bedtime story, Say Boo. Now this is like, I actually got to footnote this book in my book. The story is this ghost. And on Halloween, the ghost has lost its voice and it can no longer say boo. So it can't scare anyone, right? So it goes up to the cow and he wants to scare the cow. And instead of saying boo, he goes moo. And then, you know, you can kind of get the gist of this. So it's a, you know, cute little illustrations. And so, you know, he actually goes up to an owl because he can't say boo and he goes, whoo. And so he's reading aloud in the book and Ben the ghost is the ghost in the story. And Ben is my friend, the fellow who's reading the story to his kids. And he gets to a point in the story and it says, then Ben looked up and saw a large owl in a pine tree. He read that aloud. And then his dog starts barking, going crazy downstairs, bark, bark, bark. So he runs downstairs, opens the door, looks out, there's nothing. But he's drawn to look upward and there's an owl in the tree. And this is the same day that he had been followed by this owl hiking. And he looked up and he's convinced it was the same owl. And now the last words he spoke were, and then Ben looked up and saw a large owl in a pine tree. So there's Ben looking up at a large owl in a pine tree. Now we went back and forth and I had him work on this stuff. So these two different stories. And he gets back to me. He said, this is the same story. This is the same story. The first story of the owl passing in front of the van is the same story of the owl showing up in the pine tree. He said I was finding my voice. I was finding my voice to tell my kids my experiences. And in the story, the ghost, also named Ben, was finding his voice.
Oh, wow.
So these are the things that, like, this has got this kind of dream logic to it that I am so, like, I say I'm a disciple of the story. Like, I try to speculate as little as possible and just let the stories tell what they tell. Now, I did not catch that mm-hmm. these were the same stories. It was Ben. It was his own. That was him that caught it. So this is really mystical, powerful stuff.
Yes. Yes. Well, we have a caller. We have Zach on the line. So Zach, do you have a question for Mike?
Yeah. I just had a question about owls. Like why owls? Why are they so interesting? Like, why are owls like the, the interesting creatures that seem to pop up during these, like, I don't know, UFO sightings? Why not another animal? What makes these owls special?
Well, you have asked the key question. That was like basically the when entering this book project, that was the question that, like, you know, I had thumbtacked over the desk, you know, why owls? And throughout the book, like I say it just straight up, why owls? Like, so the short answer is, I don't know. The longer answer is, for like a lot of somewhat mystical reasons. Now it isn't just owls, especially in the screen memory aspect. Other things are reported: deer, cats, raccoons. Jesus actually shows up in these screen memory reports. So it's not just owls. But then also people have mystical stories beyond just the owl, often involving, you know, birds are particularly, they show up a lot. So I speculate on why it could be. One thing is, an owl, in some way or another, sort of looks like the gray alien that we all recognize. You know, the alien with the big black eyes. An owl has an eerie presence, right? So you see a bunny rabbit in the yard. There's nothing eerie about that bunny rabbit. You know, you see an owl in the yard. I tell you, I've seen them, and they are not like a normal bird. They have a weird presence, and that presence comes from those big eyes. And then the way they move, they move. Now, this is going to jump into owl physiology here. Owls can't move their eyes right and left, right? So we have like round eyeballs that like roll around in our eye sockets, right? So we can sit still and still look right and left. Owls can't do that. Owls' eyes are specially designed so that they can see in the night and see things far away. So their owls aren't like spheres like ours are. They're like telescope shaped. They're little tubes. They're little cylinders. So they can't move them around, but they can move their head in a very eerie way. So that when you see an owl moving its neck, it's very eerie. Now, the thing that came up in the research, and this was channeled to me, and then I went and did a bunch of research, and it just fits so cleanly. Owls are an archetype, right? So an archetype, like Luke Skywalker is the archetype of the hero, and the owl is the archetype of like the visitor at night. So an archetype, this is getting into like college philosophy kind of thoughts here, but so an archetype is something that we inherently intuitively understand and know in our gut. In it, at a very deep level, we understand it at a subconscious level, what an archetype is. So when you see Luke Skywalker in Star Wars, you're not just seeing an adventure movie, you are seeing an archetype. When you see an owl in the yard, you are not seeing a bird with big eyes, you are seeing an archetype. It resonates at a level deeper than the surface level. So that is one sense why owls are showing up, is because they have an archetypal power that other birds simply don't have. I mean, other birds have archetypal power. I mean, ravens and eagles and such certainly do, but an owl holds a specific, mysterious, subconscious force. Now, what that is, I don't know, but my sense is that we all have an inherent subconscious knowing of the power of the owl and its mystical attributes. That was a long answer for a good question.
So it's like an energy?
Energy might be the wrong term for it. It is a buried sense of knowing. You don't have to be a student of comparative mythology to have that powerful feeling when you see an owl. Because that's inherent. That's been passed down from our ancestors to us today. So yes, a form of energy perhaps, but like a psychic energy.
So the owl is sort of associated like with wisdom and things like that.
It certainly is. That comes from Greek mythology. Yeah.
So the owls seem to be pretty evident in like these UFO sightings, just because they're what resonate the most with, I don't know, like wisdom, things like that.
Maybe, you know, I can only tell the stories and then speculate on what it might mean. So all I can say, so what is happening, what I can say absolutely, just from the wealth of reports and people I've talked to, what is absolutely happening is owls are showing up at weird moments in conjunction with UFO contact. What I go out on a limb and wonder about is why. And my thought is that seeing the owl there was one woman who spoke about it, and she was channeling, and this is actually the same woman. Her name is Jacqueline Smith. And she said the owls are there to announce initiation. And this is almost like in a mythic sense or a dream sense, right? So you're about to be initiated, and there's an announcement, there's a ceremony that takes place, right? I don't know what that might be. You know, someone rings a bell or someone, bangs a gong. In the UFO contact, it seems like initiation is announced by the presence of an owl. And this is just what's been showing up in the reports.
And are you going to be like covering more about this in like a conference, or what kind of conference was it? Like the transformation conference, or was it?
This is the UFO conference in Eureka Springs.
Oh yeah. UFO conference. Speaking of that conference, are you guys going to be like live streaming that like somewhere?
Yeah.
Is that going to be like something that people can see online?
Yeah, we'll be announcing that probably about a week before we'll announce it.
Oh, all right. So where will you be announcing it? Like, exactly? Like, is there a website or something like that?
Yeah, on the website, on the OzarkUFOConference.com.
Oh, all right. So I'll go check that out. All right. So thank you for your time. It's an honor speaking with you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling in, Zach. Something that was coming to me as you guys were talking was I was thinking about something that Mom said in her work in the custodians. And that was, you know, when she said, you know, when they seeded the planet, you know, and they were bringing life here from everywhere, you know, and it was like, maybe the owls has something to do with those beings, you know, it's like, well, whoever they're associated with or something.
Quite probably. I mean, that's worthy avenue of speculation. Yeah. It's very difficult to know what is what now. So it's like one of those things, right? So you sit around the campfire, right? You're at the teepee and you're in a little village and the old wise man tells a story around the campfire and it's this mythic tale, you know, and I mean, Jesus did it too. He told like, you know, parables. And then at the end, you know, what's the role of the wise man in the village, the shaman in the village? Does he then say, and now here's the secret meaning of the story?
Yeah.
I don't think Jesus did that. I don't think the wise men and sitting around the campfire did that. I think he left it open-ended. And that's the way I've been addressing these stories, as open-ended, unanswered parables. You know, I attempt to answer them and I, you know, feel like I'm sloppy at that, but, so there's that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's coming up with your own. I think the main thing, like you're saying, it's getting your attention. And I like that. But you said that one person said it was like it's the initiation. Announce initiation. That's interesting. It's getting your attention. Something's about to happen.
Well, that traces right back to my thing. So like your mother, right? So your mother was like, I have to decide whether I'm going to go down this road.
Mm-hmm.
And then she bumps into an owl. You know, or like pulls up to an owl. Now me, this was at a point when I saw those owls in the mountains with Kristen, I was at a point where I knew there was going to come a day where I was going to have to look into this. Like I knew, I was like, I was pushing it away. I was like, I was smart enough to know like missing time and gray aliens in the yard. Like, right. that kind of means something, you know? And then, but I wasn't going to go there. Like, man, I was like, no way. Didn't happen. Not me. But at the same time, I was like, you know, there's going to come a day when I have to look at this. And that coincided. I mean, so that, you know, whatever the, you know, there's a little teeny trickle out of the dam.
Yeah.
Right. So that was my life. I saw those owls and the dam burst. And that was just, I was lost in the deluge. And I'll tell you, those years were hard. The first few years, I feel very calm now. And I'll tell you that writing that book was the best therapy I've ever done. So,
well, and then they are, and I think that's something good to talk about right there. When stuff like that happens, when you do open that door, it is hard, you know, and all that stuff does start coming through. And some people say, oh yeah, I want to know all this. Or, you know, it's like when that door opens, some people think they're going crazy or they're,
I was going crazy. So I was having synchronicities. I was seeing so many owls. I was seeing owls everywhere. I thought I was just it was impossible. Like it was not based on normal reality. Like, so what I had to do was like normal reality, like, you know, I had to sweep that out of the, you know, like I had to like normal reality crumbled.
Yeah.
You know, the definition that I learned in junior high school that my parents taught me or whatever, it ain't like what it is. You know, there's something more going on and I had to rebuild that, you know, so yeah.
Yeah. That's out the window. You have to reformat that.
Yeah, you exactly. Reformat it. You have to sort of go with the hard drive. You have to reformat the hard drive. Yeah. So, and that's not an easy process. So, and then it's a lonely process too. It's not like you can do it for everyone. I mean, that's a lonely journey. That's one person at a time has to do that on their own.
And that's an excellent statement right there. Each person has to do their own thing. You come to your own conclusions. You can. That's why I like what you said. It's like you make out from the stories what you will for yourself. And that's what you're doing here. That way you come to your own conclusions for your own end product, because this is your journey. That's what it's all about. Because you're making your own foundation that way. It's for you.
It's very personal. It's very personalized. And that's the culmination of the book in a way, which can't go into now, but it was like my confirmation event. Like, man, I had a lot of stuff happen. Then I was just dismissed it outright. No way, couldn't be, no way, couldn't have happened. And there was an event that took place in March of 2010, which takes up about the last half hour of my talk. And to tell it, it's a long, complicated thing. It's interesting to me. People seem to think it's interesting too, but how to say this? Like, clues were set out in front of me, and I feel like I was the only person in the world that could have put those clues together, mm-hmm. because they were so specific to myself. Like, one of them involved maps, and I make maps. It's something I've done for a long time doing this outdoor work. You have to make a map. You get on, Google Earth or Google Maps, and they're not complicated maps, but I've made a ton of maps. So I would never have been able to solve, and I did that before, but I never would have been able to solve this. Well, let's say put the puzzle pieces together in this confirmation event without those map skills. So that was unique. And I have a bunch of examples where these things were uniquely tailored to an individual.
I think we're just barely scratching the surface of what we're about to start opening for ourselves. They've been telling me for years, you ain't seen nothing yet. So it's like, it's kind of like, just hang on, because we're in for the rides of our life, but we chose to be here at this time. And
yeah, quite possibly. Yeah. And I think that this has been a very, this has been a very powerful journey for me, to play this, to sort of drop that mm-hmm. materialism view of the world and then come to more of a multi-layered, overlapping, mystical view of the world.
Yeah, and that's a huge one. Well, before we lose, we get too much closer to the end here, how can people contact you if they want to?
My website is called hiddenexperience.blogspot.com. And that's my main website. But you can just type my name in, Mike Cleland, Owls. It'll come right up. The site will come right up. And the book site, the book is connected to that too. So, for purchasing the book, it's really easy to find Amazon. You can go to your local bookstore and you can get the ISBN, or you can just go to your local bookstore and say, Owls, Messenger, Mike Cleland. It'll come right up on the computer behind the desk and they can order it for you without the shipping cost.
Okay, so I think we've got like two more minutes. So what, I feel like there's a final message. There's something here that you want to leave. You want to sell.
Well, I don't want to sell anything. I mean, it's nice to, if people buy the book. Let me put it that way. So I'm grateful when people buy the book and people have been very, so here, it's not just owls. There's other things going on. So in the book and in the talk and in my research and in personal experiences, you don't have to be a UFO abductee to have a cool owl experience. People who are oftentimes very early on in their meditating will have owl experiences. I have a bunch of stories where people are like meditating. They open their eyes. They ask a question. One guy was his first time ever meditating. And he's out on his porch and he's meditating on his porch and he opens his eyes and an owl directly in line. And I got that story in one form or another all kinds of times. Someone on a shamanic, in the shamanic process, they're going through an initiation. They're working with a elder shaman and they're seeing owls all the time. Mm-hmm. People taking mushrooms, party down kind of way, but as a vision quest thing, are seeing owls, you know, someone takes a heavy dose of mushrooms, they're sitting in a big circle, this boom, this big 3-foot owl lands in the middle of the circle. Everyone sees it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, I have a story of someone taking mushrooms and an owl flies down and takes the guy's hat. And this is this comes from someone with UFO contact experiences. And then also death. People around the time of death, owls seem to show up. Often, you know, it's very interesting because some of the mythology is very dark and ominous and gloomy, and owls have a kind of a foreboding quality to them. But that's not what I'm finding in my reports. It's people oftentimes it's a parent, and an owl will show up after the parent dies. And this shows up over and over again where people will talk to the owl as if it's their parent. I had someone just a few days ago contact me. Andrea and I were sitting drinking coffee, and this thing comes through, and someone says, "There's an owl on my porch." Says, yeah. "Here, I'm going to send a picture. You're the owl guy. Is this thing sick?" And I should look at this picture. I'm like, it doesn't look sick to me. What's going on? It's like, well, my mom just died, and I'm meditating, and I'm really grieving, and I wanted a sign that she was okay. And then I wake up or come out of meditation, and there's an owl like in direct line. Like if I had been sitting a little over this way or a little over this way, I wouldn't have been able to see this owl. So I wake up, open my eyes after meditation. There's an owl like right on my porch, and there's this picture like right up against the window. And I'm like, you open the window and you talk to that owl It's like, don't let this moment pass you by. And she said it was a really powerful experience, and she cried, and there were tears of joy and relief. And so my point is that the owl is symbolic, not of something, not of the UFO experience. The owl is symbolic of the transformational experience. All these things are transformational. Deep meditation, shamanic initiation, death is the ultimate transformation. And anyone who's been taken on board a UFO, I feel, have been transformed.
Yeah. I agree. And that's a wonderful message to end on. And we do need to part. Thank you so much, Mike. That's fantastic.
Good. I'm so excited to be down there and see folks. Yeah. There's a bunch of folks I know that are going to be down there, and I'm just really looking forward to being there.
Oh, and so I'm looking forward to seeing you and having you with us all. And can't wait to see everyone, and hope you'll all come out to see us. And if you can't, if you'll join us by live streaming. So that will be April, 14th to the 16th. It's the second weekend in April.
Easter weekend.
Yeah, Easter weekend. Yes. And can't wait to see everybody, and love to you all. Good night, everyone. Good night, Mike.
Thank you.